purity. "Purity officers of the People's Army," called Leo. 100 of the bastards, their clothes and armor spattered with red, 2 from each company, there to make sure every military decision was politically sound and that every soldier stayed loyal to the great change. These were the longest-serving and most committed burners, fanatics who'd stood with Judge when standing with Judge had looked like madness. "You all know who I am," he roared. He might not have a hero's legs anymore, but he still had a hero's voice, and he meant to use it. "My name's Leo Brock. Some call me the Young Lion." Applause would have been too much to hope for, but he paused for appreciation. There was none of that either. Only folded arms, impatient grunts, hard frowns on scarred faces. These men weren't easily impressed. They had scant regard for ex-noblemen, ex-lord governors, or ex-heroes of the Union, and had already sent several sets of failed generals back to Adua for the long drop. Leo took a hard breath through his nose and glanced at Sparks. The man gave a sneering shrug. "Citizeness Judge has made me General of the People's Army." Leo thought he heard a few disgusted sniffs near the back. "She wants me to lead you to victory against the Royalists." Someone spat noisily on the floor of the barn. "I fought Stour Nightfall in the Circle and won. I fought the King at Stauffenbeck and fucking lost," someone growled. Murmurs of agreement. Leo felt Glarwood shifting unhappily at his shoulder. I lost," he called. "I was rash. I was reckless. I was vain. It cost me 2 of my best friends, not to mention an arm and a leg." He tapped at the metal one with his cane. "But I learned my lesson. I learn it fresh every time I try to hold one of my babies, climb the stairs, or pull my prick out to piss." Some grudging nods there. Most of them were veterans. They might not respect much, but they respected wounds and they respected swearing. "I used to be quite the hero and quite the fucking fool. But I'm not so much of a fool that I'll make the same mistake twice." He glanced sideways, and Durand gave the slightest encouraging nod, enough to settle any doubts in a warm rush of confidence. He always knew just what Leo needed. Leaving him in Angland had been the worst mistake of all, one he'd never make again. Leo puffed out his chest like he used to when he gave his speeches to the army of Angland. "With me in charge, there'll be no more compromises. No more half-measures, no more defeats." Some of the arms were coming unfolded. Some of the frowns were fading. "I know you've been short of food and supplies, gone without pay for weeks. I'll put that right first." The grunts had turned appreciative. Even fanatics like being paid. "But I understand why you might not accept me. I was a nobleman. Now I'm a fucking cripple." He grinned and dug out a couple of grim laughs. "I won't force myself on you, whether Judge picked me or not. But I won't fight you over every decision either. I mean to lead. So I need your consent now to be led. I'll give you some time to discuss it, but when I come back, I want a straight answer." A big man with a beard stained red spoke up.
"Young Lion, I think I speak for us all when I say..."
Leo held up his hand. "Discuss it. Take a vote if you need to. I don't want to hear later you weren't given the chance." He tapped Sparks's shoulder with the handle of his cane. "Citizen Sparks will make sure you're all heard." And before anyone could disagree, he turned and limped out of the barn into the morning chill, hearing the doors creak as they were swung shut behind him. He waited, gripping his cane tight. Waited, listening to the birds twitter in the dripping trees, the dewy hedgerows. Waited, watching the mist down in the still valley. He took a cold breath through his nose and smiled. It wasn't hard to do. It felt better than he'd ever expected to be back in uniform and in charge of soldiers again, even if the uniform scarcely fit him and the soldiers were a pack of scum. When he left Angland, his mother had warned him he was no general. He saw now how right she'd been. Rash and indecisive at once, and so horribly sentimental. Losing everything, and seeing his friends dead before his eyes, and months of pain ever since, had cured him of all that. Perhaps he had half the limbs, but he reckoned he was twice the man he used to be. He'd a harder head, a harder heart, and, most important of all, a far stronger stomach. "Generals are forged in the fires of defeat," he murmured to himself. Stolichus, maybe? He wondered what his mother would say now. "Not having second thoughts, are you?" asked Durin, stepping up beside him. "You know me." Leo gave a grunt as he shifted his weight on his iron leg. "I barely even have first thoughts. Once, maybe. Not anymore." And Durin grinned at him. By the dead, that smile. Leo could have looked at it all day. He could hear the raised voices from the barn. The burners and the breakers always loved a debate, an argument, a vote. The noisier and more tedious, the better. How much of that nonsense had he endured in the ruined Lord's Round? "Which side do you think they'll come down on?" he asked. Durand looked almost puzzled. "What does it matter?" "Just curious, I suppose. I mean, we all want to be liked." Leo winced as he turned and waved to the dark-uniformed Anglanders gathered about the barn. Quietly, carefully, men slipped forward. They slid a beam into the brackets, barring the doors from outside. Others sloshed oil over the lower timbers of the barn. More came forwards with torches, touched them to the wood, and fire bloomed. In a few moments, the flames were licking high all around, right to the eaves of the roof. Leo heard shouting inside over the crackle and roar. The doors wobbled, clattered. Leo's men had dropped their torches. Now they drew swords and readied flatbows. "Surround the barn," he called. "Kill anyone who makes it out." "Yes, Your Grace." "Glarwood, put loyal Anglanders wherever there were purity officers before. Durant, see the people's army fed and paid with what Savine gave you. When the time comes, I want them loyal. Loyal enough, anyway." Over the roar of flames, Leo could just hear the wails of horror. Alongside the stink of burning, it reminded him more than a little of Stauffenbeck. He'd been conceived on a battlefield. He'd been reborn on another. He took a wary step back, narrowing his eyes against the heat, and watched the smoke pour up into the dawn sky. "I guess it had to be done," said Glarwood, wide eyes flickering with reflected flames. "They love the fire," said Leo, tugging his jacket smooth, then turning away. "They can have the fire."